Thus far, it's been good to be in the presence of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Appreciate the way the Lord has moved. Sometimes after a service like that, you wonder if a message like this is really relevant. The only thing I know to do in times like that is just to preach your heart out and see what happens. One man told me, he said, whenever it's time to preach, he said, go, Tiger, go. So I don't know. I guess it's time to go. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers, chapter 16. I mentioned it the other day in chapel. When you speak of that place called hell. And there's a debate that goes on as to whether or not the Bible accurately describes it, literally describes it, or whether it's all figurative. And of course, we believe that it is literal. There is literal fire in hell. But this man, I'm going to give you his quote one more time, William E. Evans. He said, is the fire spoken of literal fire? It is an accepted law of language that a figure of speech is less intense than the reality. If fire is merely a figurative expression, it must stand for some great reality. And if the reality is more intense than the figure, what an awful thing the punishment symbolized by fire would be. And I do believe that the Bible literally describes hell as it is, literal fire. But even if you want to look for an excuse and try to lessen hell and say it's just figurative, according to the law of language, the figurative must be less intense than the literal, and there's some great horrible punishment awaiting the transgressor. You believe the way of the transgressor is hard? I would not want to be found in the shoes of the transgressor on Judgment Day. Jack Hiles was once asked the reason why he was almost to the point of being a fanatic when it came to soul winning. And in response, he told him one night he was awakened by a scream from his sister's room. And he went to his sister's room to see what was the matter. And she had just woke up and you know, startled and scared to death. She's trembling, shaking. And he asked her, what was the matter? Did she have a dream? She shook her head, no. Did you have a nightmare? She said, no, it was real. She said, it was so real. She said, I saw hell. It was as though I was standing at the gates of hell and I could see all these souls trying to get out, and they were coming to the very edge right there to the gate, and their tongues were cracked and bleeding. Their hands were cracked open, and they were parched for lack of water, and they were needing some fresh air. There was no fresh air in there. And she said, I turned to the person that was the keeper of the gate and said, can you let just a little bit of fresh air in that place for them poor people? And he said, no air in hell. Well, can you give them a little bit of water? No water in hell. There is a real hell. And I'm going to try my best. I know anything I do is going to fall far short of being able to actually portray you and present this place to you. But I'm going to do my best with the help of the Holy Ghost. Would you stretch your hand this way and ask that God would anoint, that He would somehow use this small message, as small as it is, and somehow use it to our benefit. God, I pray that you'd reach out and somehow touch somebody's heart with this message. Lord, I pray that you'd use it, Lord, for your glory, that you'd be able to reach out, minister to somebody's heart. Lord, anoint me with the words to speak. Give me, Lord, the words to speak. Put a watch over my mouth that I would say nothing more, nothing less than what you'd have me to speak, Lord, that I would speak as the word, the very oracles of God. Give me the anointing of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And I pray that when we come into these altars tonight, Lord, that you would honor us with your presence. Thank you for what you're going to do in your name. Amen. There's almost, if we're not careful in our day and hour, and I'm going to get into this shortly, just keep your place in number 16. But there's almost, if we're not careful, someone almost shun away from preaching about hell. That's just kind of old fashioned, and that's not really relevant anymore. That's not how you reach the lost. But there are some things that when it comes to, I mean, if it's in the Bible, it's important. And some things that the preaching of hell ought to do for us is, number one, it ought to reach the lost. And I've heard some say that, well, you shouldn't reach the lost with the preaching of hell. You're not supposed to scare them to the cross. I don't care what it takes. If you get them to the cross, you get them there. Okay? I mean, Jude talked about how some, you say, with fear, you're going to reach out to them, pulling them out. You remember the prophet Jonah? He went to Nineveh. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, the Lord's speaking to him and says, you go preach what I tell you to preach. And Jonah goes, there's no indication that he does otherwise. He preaches judgment of God. And so there's nothing wrong with preaching hellfire to sinners. It ought to move the sinner and scare them to be living where they're at. It ought to also scare the Christian a little bit, enough to keep them serving the Lord. I mean, I realize that the fear of hell is not what keeps you saved. The fear of hell needs to cultivate into the love for the one that saves you from hell, or your experience is shallow. But still yet, there's that fear that causes us to realize, if I look back to the pit where I came from, and if I were to turn around and go that way, I know where that road leads. Huh? And also, it ought to cause the church to have a burden for the lost. But I believe it's still vitally important, the preaching of hell. Numbers chapter 16, verse 28, if you would. And I'm probably not going to be very long. I realize it's getting later. I'm going to be very short this evening. I've got a lot of material, but I'm just going to go through it and try to get to my main point and give you what I felt on my heart before the service. Numbers chapter 16, verse 28. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them. And they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them. And for just the next few minutes, very short, I want to preach to you on the sound of hell. And when you look at this account, and you look at the account of Korah and his men, they've withstood the man of God. And anytime you go against the man of God, you're looking for trouble. You picked the wrong fight. Because when you stand against the man of God, you're standing against God. That's what you're standing against. And so these men of Korah, they've picked the wrong battle. They begin to stand against Moses and say, who do you think you are to set yourself above us and to put yourself on such a pedestal? And of course, we know that God put Moses in this position. But they're questioning his authority and his position and saying, don't we have as much power as you? Aren't we as holy as you? And so in this account, there's the standoff there. You've got Moses and Aaron. You've got Korah and his bunch. And what's going to happen? God's going to determine who's really the one in authority, who's really in charge here. And of course, Moses says if they just, die a natural death, if they continue living, nothing happens, we'll know that God's on their side. But if something happens and God opens the earth up, something just unnatural, almost supernatural, and he literally opens the earth up and swallows them down alive into the pit, you'll know that God's on our side. And so here they are. And they're separated, waiting to see what God will do. And of course, as we read the story, the earth opened up and they were swallowed up and went alive down into the pit. Alive. Whatever your doctrine, whatever your view of hell is, wherever you think hell might be, we know there is a hell. There's some that say it's in the heart of the earth. Whether it's there or somewhere else, we know there is a hell. And these people went there on that day. But the Bible said that when they were swallowed up, the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up. It said that all the rest of Israel fled at the cry of them that were swallowed up. And I don't know what it would have sounded like on that day as these men of Korah that have rebelled and that have turned their backs on God and rebelled against His authority as the earth swallows them up and they begin to cry out, realizing their mistake. I don't know what that would have sounded like, all these grown men crying out in agony as they're swallowed up into the pit alive. But it would have been a terrible sound. But if you could have really heard, if you could somehow put your ear down and listen to the cries in hell, what would it sound like? One man said, if you could take the sound of a little child falling down the steps and crying out in anguish and in pain, the sound of a child falling off their bicycle, the sound of a man in agony at a car accident scene, and multiply it by thousands, you might get close to the sound of hell. There's two alternatives when you die. We know this. This is basic. You have heaven and you have hell. I can't imagine what an awful sound that would have been like to be there on that day and watch these men. But the Bible said that all Israel fled at the cry of them. It was a horrible enough, an awful enough sound that everybody fled when they heard the cry of these men that were swallowed up. And if you could somehow go down to hell and you could just listen for a little bit, you'd hear cries and shrieks of agony and cries from men who once knew what it was to walk with God. You would hear, some of you would hear cries, if you were down there long enough listening, of men who sat in the very pews in this sanctuary. You would hear cries of men who preached the gospel behind the pulpit, men who turned their back and rebelled against God, who are now in hell saying, God, I've got an eternity in this flame. I'm tormented in this flame. Men who once stood under the fire of the Holy Ghost are now under the fire of God's judgment in a place called hell. And what's worse, they'll never get out. There's not an escape hatch from hell. The only way they'll get out is for a short time at the great white throne judgment, only to be thrown, after all their sins are thrown upon them, only to be thrown back into the lake of fire. My God, I don't want to go to that place. I don't want anybody to go to that place. But if you could be there long enough and you could listen to the voices and the cries of agony, eventually you might be able to pick out somebody's voice and hear what they're saying. As they're saying, I should have lived for God. I had my chance. I had my opportunity. If somehow you could pull somebody up and somebody could come back from the dead, I wonder what their message would be. I wonder what Cain would say if he came back from the dead right now. And if we could somehow listen to his message from hell and he could speak to us, what would he say?
I had my opportunity. I had my chance in the very presence of God. I went to him and I offered him the fruit of the ground. I'd work hard. I did my best, and he wasn't satisfied with what I had. He preferred the offering of my brother. He said, if I did well, then I'd be accepted. But if I didn't, then sin lied at the door. And I stormed out of the presence of God in anger. And I reached for that doorknob and I turned it and I opened the door. And I thought I could control it. But sin leapt on me. In a fit of rage in a field, I slew my brother. And God came to me and asked me where he was. And I said, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is, but he said his blood is crying out from the grave. And he banished me that day from his presence. And I spent the rest of my time on earth as a fugitive, fleeing, running away, never ever again able to be in the presence of God. And not only that, but I died the death and I woke up in hell where I'm still running. I'm running right now, running, running and running. That there is no escape. There is no way out for me. There is no way to come back. I should have obeyed. I should have listened to God. I should have taken my opportunity in his presence, but I didn't.
Do you realize that Cain, whenever he had opportunity to make things right, the Lord told him, you know, if you're not accepted, sin lieth at the door. And I begin looking into the account of Cain and Abel, as Abel's offering and sacrifice is accepted and Cain's is rejected. And when I begin looking at them, you know, there's some sacrifices and offerings that don't require a blood. Do you realize that? There's such a thing as peace offerings, other types of offerings. And that Hebrew word sin literally means sin offering. Look at it in the Hebrew. It has a meaning It means sin, but deeper than that, sin offering. God wasn't just saying to Cain, there's sin at the door of your heart. It went deeper than that. It was saying, Cain, there's a sin offering. There's a way of escape. You can get out of this. You don't have to turn and reject my presence. There's a sin offering. Abel was the keeper of the sheep. Cain killed his brother, slew his own brother. And when Cain slew his brother, there was a lamb waiting in the sheepfold that could have been a sin offering. And as Cain walked out of the presence of God, no doubt he heard in the background the bleating of a lamb and realized that was my lamb. If I'd only offered it up, I wouldn't be running out of the presence of God. And Cain will never get out of hell. He'll never escape the judgment of God. He's there for an eternity. There's no record, no indication in the Bible that he ever came back to God. Cain is lost. A man who could have known what it was to have his sacrifice accepted by God for all eternity lost in the flames of hell. If we could pull up King Saul, what would his message be? Would it be similar? What would he have to say to us today?
I stood head and shoulders above the people, but I did not die like a king. I died like a coward. I talked with witches, and my life was just a waste. Look at my life. This is what happens when God can never use you again. Put away your pride and deal with your jealousy. If I could just have my anointing back, I've spent the years of my life and past days chasing another man's ministry, chasing another man's anointing because it was taken from me. And now here I am. If I could just feel His presence one more time. If I could just be anointed one more time. If I could just talk to God and have Him talk to me. Just one more time. Whatever you do, don't lose. Don't lose His presence.
King Saul, a man that knew what it was to have the hand of God on his life, right before he became king of Israel, he goes up on a hillside and begins to prophesy with the prophets. And the people say, is Saul a prophet now? And the Bible, Samuel told Saul, he said, when you go prophesy and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you'll be changed. You'll become another man. And Saul had the hand of God, but he lost it. And so now, for all eternity, as far as we know, Saul never made anything right with God. And for all eternity, he's lost in the flames of hell. And the only thing he has to look forward to now is the great white throne judgment and the lake of fire. What an awful eternity. What an awful fact to look ahead and realize all I have to look forward to is another day in hell. And when that day's done, all I have to look forward to is another day in hell. The same thing day in and day out. No change. Just I'm tormented in this flame. What an awful eternity. No hope. Isaiah 38, 18 says, they cannot, them that enter down into the pit, cannot hope for thy truth. No hope. Hopelessness for King Saul. I wonder what Judas Iscariot would say if we could bring him up from the pit of hell. Somebody who walked with Christ, who had the hand of Christ, who was handpicked by Christ. What would Judas say to us tonight?
I was one of the 12. I still remember that day that Jesus called me and asked me to be one of His disciples. I followed Him. I saw the miracles. I saw blind Bartimaeus, his eyes open. I saw the lame healed. I saw the many miracles that He did, but I became greedy. I wanted money more than I wanted the presence of God, and I sold the Savior. I betrayed Him. I gave it up, and when they took Him and they crucified Him, I went and I took my own life. And now I'm in hell. Now I'm in hell. I can still hear Him calling my name. Judas, be my disciple. I can still see the miracles that He did. I can still imagine what He would have done with me. I could have been one of the apostles. I could have been one of the great men of God, but I sold out to the sin. I gave it all up, and now it's too late. Only if I could go back. Only if I could take it back. I wouldn't do it again. I would give Him everything. But it's too late. I hear the screams. I see the torment. I see the hopelessness. I wish I wouldn't have turned my back on Him. What could God have done with me? He called me, but now I'm in hell. I knew what it was to sit in His presence, but now I can't feel Him. I'm in hell. What could have I done? But now I am destined to eternity, burning in the flames of hell.
Oh, come on, if the Holy Ghost is still, I wouldn't hold off. I've got a lot more to preach here tonight, but if God's dealing with your heart, I would not wait. You don't know how long you have till death. You don't know how long you have till the trumpet sounds. And I wouldn't want to be caught in the shoes of the transgressor on Judgment Day. At the great white throne judgment, I wouldn't want to have the book thrown at me. I wouldn't want to be one of those whose sin follow after. Some people, their sins go ahead of them and are judged at Calvary. But others get to the judgment and they find out their load of sin coming along behind them and the book's thrown at them. I want to be right on Judgment Day. I don't want to have to look forward to an awful eternity in hell's fire. If I had anything in my life that was not right with God, I would make my way to this altar as fast as I could. Would someone come to the piano, please? If I were you, I would not hesitate as God dealt. He's honored us with His presence. I've got more to preach. I can preach more. But if He's dealing with you, I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't hold off. I wouldn't want my voice to be added to those in hell and my voice to be one of those that made up the sounds of hell. I wouldn't want my shriek to make up all the shrieks of agony and pain and torment of those that are in the flame of hell. I would want to make sure my voice, the sound of my voice, is on streets of gold, praising the Lamb. If I had anything, any question about something in my heart, I'd make sure it got right with God. I wouldn't want to push past the cross and hear nothing but the sound of the bleating Lamb. Realize that Jesus died for me and I wasted His death on my charge. Oh, God. Oh, it ought to bring a conviction upon the lost. Some of you who are still saying, well, I don't have any sin. My sins are washed away. It ought to bring a burden for the lost, for you. If you say, my sins have been washed away, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you ought to be able to rejoice that one day you're going to heaven. You don't have to look forward to the eternity in hell. He saved you from the pit of sin and also from that pit of hell. But it also, you ought to be like Lot. You ought to run from the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all run from hell as fast as you can. But why don't you stop and grab someone on the way and take them with you? Oh, God, give the church a fresh vision of hell. Oh, let us fear the judgment of God. Oh. One man said, it is our bounden duty to warn sinners of their fearful peril. To remain silent is criminal. God, give the church a vision of hell. Wake us up to the reality of hell's flames.